this is where I'm coming to. What people need today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yeah, well, can people handle the truth, though?
I believe they can. In the Situation Room.
Welcome to the Situation Room, a program that applies God's word to our present situation. We take the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth of God's word, and apply it to our daily lives. Because at the end of the day, what really matters is not what I say or what somebody else say, but what does the word of God say? And I ask that you take everything that you hear me say or somebody else say on this program, and you check it out with the word of God. Because if I or anyone try to put some on your spiritual plate that don't line up with the scriptures, well, just put that in your spiritual garbage disposal. Because all you want on your spiritual plate is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you God. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome this morning to the Situation Room. It is indeed a plumb pleasure to have you this morning in the Situation Room. After all, this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. We're excited and delighted to have you this morning in the Situation Room. We hope and pray that things are going well for you and your family in your neck of the woods. We have a wonderful program for you today. Today is the day that we focus in on some good inspiration, trying to encourage you and strengthen you. And because this is Black History Month, I wanted to listen to a sermon by a great Bible scholar, Dr. C.D. Brooks, and he's preaching about Jesus and black people, particularly Simon of Cyrene, the man who was carrying, the black man who was carrying the cross of Jesus. Get close to your radio and listen.
Unheralded. 1848, J. Hawkins invented a metal oven rack. In 1884, Johnson invented the egg beater. And Lee, a kneading machine to facilitate the making of bread. And for the train, the principal conveyor of those days, black folks invented smokestacks and a switching machine and car couplings. Elkins improved refrigerators. A seed planter was invented by Blair. A shoe lasting machine invented by a black man. The telegraph system for trains done by Granville Woods. And in 1935, Fred Jones came up with an idea for refrigerating trucks so that fresh vegetables and fruits could take the long haul. George Washington Carver, more than 100 products from the peanut alone. And I ought to put this in. Marjorie Joyner invented a hair weaving machine. And those of you on the distaff side will understand what I'm talking about. But I want you to catch the scene. Clouds of bloodthirsty insects were doing their frenzied dance in the foul air above the cross, while the demon-driven mob tormented him with a cacophony of blasphemous blather, a delirium of insane and hellish brutality. Christ was near death, and he had been there since Gethsemane, because he said to his disciples, "Then my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death." And if Christ had died anywhere along the way, he still would have been our Savior. For the system of justice, which is universal, only required that the blood of one equal with God could atone for the sins of man. And he shed that blood in Gethsemane. And in Pilate's judgment hall, and in Herod's parlor. St. Paul took note of this and said that he endured even the death of the cross, indicating that maybe he went farther than he actually had to go. He was the cross-bearer, but he shared the burden with a son of Ham, Simon of Cyrene. And he said to you and me, bear the cross, not wear it. Almost every time I see thugs arrested on television, they have on a cross. And I wonder what it means to them. Probably it means nothing but an encrusting, cheap or expensive bit of bling. Today, I'm so glad to tell you again that Jesus lives. Bill Gaither has a song on one of his programs, Jesus died, but he's not dead. And he's coming back again. He is the head of the body, according to Paul's matchless metaphor. The body is still human. That's you and me. That's this crowd here today and everywhere throughout the world. Red and yellow, black and white. We are the body. Christ is the head. And like then, the body is weak. Today, he is the head, the church is the body. And some within the church are saying, with an arrogant flair, there is no sanctuary in heaven. But the head says, there's one there which the Lord made, and not man. The body has sometimes said, don't say amen, it's unsophisticated. The head says, let all the people say amen. The body lusts for popular acceptance. The head says the world will hate you. It hated me. The body is flattered when nominal religionists say, oh, you're just like us. By the way, that's not a compliment. Because the head says you're to be a peculiar people. And peculiar doesn't mean queer. It means distinguishable and distinctive. The body shrinks from that because it fears being labeled a cult. The head says, woe unto you, when all men shall speak well of you. The body is discouraged by apparent successes of false prophets. The head says to the Lord, to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it's because there is no light in them. I've been to places where the body is saying, go to the beach on the Sabbath and stretch out in the sun. Buy your dinner in a restaurant. Play a little golf. And if you want a new kick, try scuba diving. But the head says the difference you make between the true Sabbath and other days pretty much determines the difference between you and just nominal churchgoers. The body, wanting to be politically correct, even sometimes is tempted to accommodate perversion. The head says, they that do such things are worthy of death. But the body says it's only a biological problem. The head says, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be also in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. The body stumbles at the cross. The Greeks called it foolishness. It was an embarrassment to Israel. But the head says there's no other way, and none other name given among men whereby ye must be saved. I saw in some of our own literature an appeal that we de-emphasize doctrine. What in the world does that mean? St. Paul said for the head to Timothy, be faithful in doctrine. Another group says, spirit of prophecy gets in the way. Let's do without it. The head says you can't find your way through the wilderness of these last days without it. It isn't a problem, it's a privilege. It was given to us. It's a gift of love from the Heavenly Father. And most folk who denigrate it have never read it. They're down on what they're not up on. The body is lazy and philosophical and wants to finish the work from an easy chair and with gimmicks of this kind or another, but the head says, work while it is day, for the night cometh sooner than most of us realize. The night will settle upon us. And what we fail to do in a time of peace, we'll have to do in a time of direst opposition and trouble. And so I want to say to you and to everybody here, regardless, in a special way, we are cross-bearers. A thing or two I guess I ought not say. But we're told by the pen of inspiration, let's go get God's work done by His Spirit and not worry about money. If you go into the ministry for money, you've made a mistake. And I'm going to say something unusual. I approve of it. I was in a country once where our workers were paid on par with the colonels in the army. And you never heard such corruption in ministry. If we got giant salaries, everything would try to get in. But our church is good. They aim for upper middle class. And if you get sick, they'll help you with that. If you have a wreck, they'll help you fix your car. If your teeth go bad, they'll help pay the dental bill. But you don't go into it for money. Jesus said, you gotta deny yourself. That's what cross-bearers do. That's what keeps these highly prepared men on a campus like this when they could be somewhere else. Cross-bearers. Jesus said, unless you do it, you cannot be my disciple. A heart rings with the words thundered from the mouth of Charles Spurgeon. Long ago, he said, alas, poor African, thou hast been compelled to carry the cross until now. Hail, ye despised children of the sun. Ye follow first after the king in the march of woe. So I remind you and myself, there's a task to do. And we have been told if we suffer with him, we'll reign with him. He has this law of compensation in his mind. He's going to remember you, just like he will remember Simon. You can't outgive Jesus. Look what he has offered us. Little boy was lost in a huge crowd. Maybe you've heard this illustration. It just fits in right here. He didn't know what to do, and they saw him crying. And the police came and gently tried to help. And the little boy was trying to explain his address and couldn't. But he remembered there was a church nearby with a huge cross that went way up into the air. And he began to describe the cross. And he said to the policeman, if you get me to the cross, I can find my way home. That's the only way home. You come here to learn. You depart to serve and to become with him a cross bearer. Go where the hurt is and soothe it. Go where the darkness is and enlighten it. Go to where death is and talk about everlasting life. Bear it if it smacks of primitive godliness. Bear it if it requires us to abstain from carnal delights. Bear it if we're told to mortify unholy desires. Bear it if you have to forsake your own will in order to do God's. Bear it when it imposes hard duty. Folk call me from all over the world. They've gotten calls themselves and they want advice. I tell them first and foremost, my advice is find out what God wants you to do and do that. you have a chance to go to paradise and God says go to Siberia, you better go where God tells you to go. Bear it if you have to suffer reproach. Bear it no matter what the future holds. Because the future doesn't hold very much right now. There are trials, freakish and capricious acts of nature. The world is confused, they don't know what to do. I feel sorry for our national president. If he knew how to get out of Iraq, don't you know he would do it? Bible says that perplexity. I did a sermon 30 years ago on that word. It comes from a Greek idea which means stuck in the mud. Leaders today are stuck in the mud. They don't know whether to go forward or backward. They don't know what to do. And Satan's got them right where he wants them. But I wanted to leave you with an idea that in your bed cross, there's somebody who knows how to take care of you. A young man called me long distance and told me one of the most fascinating stories I have ever heard. I said, where'd you get that? I said, well, look, I'd like to have it, but I don't want the internet to send me anything. I've had problems with that, and I'm wary of it. I said, you send me a source I can trust, and then I'll mention it somewhere. Well, here it is. And right there it says AP, that means Associated Press, copyright 2005. Now I'm ready to tell you about it. There was a little girl in a dark corner of Ethiopia, 12 years old. She was abducted one day by a band of sinners. They took that little girl and misused her and abused her and raped her and beat her. And the idea was she was to become the wife of one of them. And this article said that many of the women in that part of Ethiopia who are wives were first abducted. Now, I don't know why this little girl decided she didn't want to do that. You know, there's some people who do right because the Spirit deals with them directly. They haven't been taught, they haven't had any Bible studies, but something made her decide, this is not for me. And so they mistreated her and kept it up for a long, long time. And now they are out in the wilderness next to the jungle. And they start again. When suddenly three lions walked out of the wilderness. Now, I have driven through Kruger National Park in South Africa. I have seen the tawny lions that match the color of the grass. And there's something to see. I have gone to places in Kenya, and I have seen them there. But the lions of Ethiopia are different. They have black, curly manes. National symbol of the country. Haile Selassie owned one and called himself the lion of the tribe of Judah. Three lions walked out of the jungle and made an announcement. And when the lions spoke, these nefarious men took off and left the girl close to unconscious. And the lions laid down. And the article said they must have guarded her body over 3 hours. And finally along came the police with members of the family searching for that little girl. And when they drove up, the lion simply got up and walked back and jumped. Now, aren't you impressed with that? My Lord. There's somebody watching over me. The load gets heavy and crushes me down, but there's somebody there. And the only reason he doesn't pick me up, he wants me to do it by faith. If it's too heavy, he interferes and interposes himself. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. We are the cross-bearers. And until the body is united for eternity with the head, let us be faithful to the ideals and the creed of Oakwood College and the Lord's Church.
All right. That was Dr. C.B.D. Brooks, and he was teaching on Jesus and the black people. That's it for today.
What is this world coming to? Well, people.
That's it for today. Thank you so kindly for joining us. Listen to us all day long because we're in your corner right here in the Situation Room.